Holy are you, O God. We bend our knees to you, O Lord. We bow before you. You alone are the King. We have no other King but you. Clean our hearts, O God. Clean our minds, O God. Lift off the weight of iniquity. Deliver us from the penalty of our sin. Save us for your name's sake, we cry. You are worthy. You are merciful. You are good. We bless you. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed. Blessed is the name of your glorious kingdom forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. On Yom Kippur, Jewish people are gathering in synagogues, even many who would not go to synagogue any other time of the year. And to go for the most sober of reasons, to admit that we're sinners, to confess our sin before God. The one time of the year when every synagogue is declaring the sins of the Jewish people and calling us to make an account before God. And so why is it that people who would not go at any other time go at this time? Is it just guilt or is it just tradition? I don't think so. I think there's a real yearning, to get right with God, a yearning to have the heavy weight lifted off of us, the weight of our sin, a yearning to not be stumbling in life, but to find that path that is promised to us. Messianic Judaism and Rabbinic Judaism have very different approaches to Yom Kippur. Traditional Rabbinic Judaism spends much time reading a detailed description of the temple service on Yom Kippur, all of the blood sacrifices, all of the offerings required from the days of the temple and performed on that day. This day that we call Yom Kippur was actually called Yom HaKippurim because there were many atonements that needed to be made for the high priest and his sins, for the family of the high priest and their sins, for all of Israel and their sins. Everyone was guilty before God. And so it's in the recounting of those sacrifices that many in Rabbinic Judaism try to take comfort. Some were not satisfied over the ages and developed a practice, kaparot, taking a chicken and pronouncing our sins on that living chicken, swinging it over the heads, declaring that our sins are transferred to it. That is not practiced by most Jews, by some Hasidic Jews. It's still very controversial. And for us, it doesn't make any sense. Behold the chicken of God. A lot of Jews don't even know that some Jews do this. But it's born out of a sincere yearning for a blood atonement. and the recognition of what the Jewish Bible teaches, that without blood there's not atonement, that there is life in the blood. And it's necessary for an innocent to die to pay that penalty. Now, for those of us who are part of Messianic Judaism, we don't recount just what the high priest in the Jerusalem temple did. We recount what our high priest did. And so we recount the death and the burial of Yeshua, the sacrifice of Yeshua on the cross. And we consider that his death was an offering and a sacrifice for our sin. The book of Hebrews was written in part to address the nature of atonement and spends much time addressing issues around Yom Kippur and comparing Yeshua to the high priest and the sacrifice of Yeshua to the Yom Kippur sacrifices. To make sense of it all, the author of the book of Hebrews turns to Jeremiah. And if you have Bibles, I would encourage you to turn to Jeremiah 31, because the writer of Hebrews understands that what Jeremiah proclaims is essential for us to understand. The whole system of the Jerusalem temple with its sacrifices of innocent animals, its priesthood, its rules, its regulations, actually were a foundation for our people and a foundation for the understanding that the writer of Hebrews had. And through this, we learn about our need for forgiveness, our need for atonement, our need for mercy. But it was the prophet Jeremiah who the writer of Hebrews turns to in order to explain what's going on, why there's such a great change. You see, Jeremiah brought a message of hope to the Jewish people. He explained that Sinai's covenant had been broken by our rebellion, by our sin, by our disobedience, but that God's commitment to us was not broken at all. There were some people who said, the Jewish people, Israel, broke the covenant, therefore God is finished with them. The prophet Jeremiah says, that's not the case. Part one is correct. Israel broke the covenant. Part two is incorrect. God is not finished with the Jewish people. So God spoke to us through the prophet Jeremiah about the new covenant. And the author of the letter to Hebrews explains that the death and the atoning sacrifice of Yeshua is connected to that new covenant and connected to Yom Kippur. And so in Hebrews chapter 8, for a few verses, we see a quote from Jeremiah 31. And it says this, "Look, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will establish over the house of Israel and over the house of Judah a new covenant. It will not be like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day that I took them by their hand and led them forth out of the land of Egypt, because they, for their part, did not remain faithful to my covenant." I'm reading David Stern's translation. "And so I, for my part, stopped concerning myself with them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my Torah in their minds, and I will write my Torah on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. None of them will teach his fellow citizen or his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, because I will be merciful toward their wickedness and remember their sins no more." So the prophet Jeremiah is being referred to because he understood something. There was a change coming, and it was a necessary change. And the Jewish people needed to get ready for this change. We were not faithful to the Sinai covenant. Now, I think there are some anti-Semites even religious anti-Semites, even Christian anti-Semites who say, God's finished with the Jewish people. They broke the covenant and God is finished with them. And I think that attitude represents something other than the heart of God, not the true passion of God, because God says, because we broke the covenant, he'll make a new covenant with us. And he will establish that covenant in Messiah Yeshua. He will give us a better renewed covenant, though we didn't keep it. I would say to the anti-Semites, let's see how you do with the old covenant. Try to keep it. The fact is, none of us could keep it perfectly. And this is a message of Yom Kippur. It's why the high priest was guilty of sin. Why his family was guilty of sin. We read in Torah, even Moses was guilty of sin. And we learn something. All of Israel is guilty. And yet there is a remedy for us, but the remedy requires a huge change and a huge transformation. I would compare it to this. Have you ever had a car that you poured a lot of money into and then it got broken again and it took more money? And after a while, you started counting it up and you realized, I'm better off getting another car. And rather than just pouring effort into repairing what you already have, you realize you got to change. Have you ever tried to fix your house? You update the kitchen. You think, okay, that'll be enough. And then you realize, oh, man, the bathrooms. The roof. And there can come a time where you say, I'm not going to pour money into that. I've got to move and get something else. Or you think about, I don't know why, I've never ridden in one of these, a horse and buggy. And can you imagine the people who were riding in those thinking, this is fantastic. It's so much faster than riding on donkeys or whatever. Much better than walking. But I think there came a time when some people said, we need to go further and faster. And you can only run your horse so fast. And in a buggy, you don't want to go too fast anyway. And aren't you glad that someone came up with the idea of the automobile? Thank goodness for that. How many remember flying on terrible propeller planes? Aren't you glad for nice jets? You see, there are times when you need a change that's so big, it's like a total system change. That's what Jeremiah is talking about. He's saying, this system that is based on all that the covenant did at Sinai and all that was promised for Israel and the whole system of atonement can take us so far. It's a foundation, but it cannot take us all the way. And the Lord understood at a certain point, the system has to change. The sacrifice has to change. The priest has to change. And the covenant has to change. One of the great changes is that the Torah needs to move from being an external set of rules, and it needs to be engraved on our hearts and our minds. How can that be accomplished? Through Yeshua. He died, he rose from the dead, he returned to heaven in order to send his Holy Spirit so that God could take up sanctuary inside of you and me, so that we could become, if you will, creatures of the new covenant. New covenant creations who could live for God. I believe that God gives us a way. And so as we're celebrating Yom Kippur tonight, tomorrow, through sundown tomorrow, let's remember something. It's not through the blood of bulls and goats or sheep that we're redeemed. And it's not through the recounting of the sacrifices of the Jerusalem temple that we are saved. It is through the blood of Messiah Yeshua, who died for us and became the perfect sacrifice once for all. It is through him and through him alone that we are saved. He alone is our Redeemer. We need to know that. We need to understand it so that we can on one hand confess our sin and on the other hand we can have confidence that our sin is not just temporarily covered, but it is fully atoned for. And so we can pray, open up for me the gates of righteousness, O Lord, and I will enter through them, and I will give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, and the righteous will enter through it. I will give thanks to you because you have answered me, and as the psalmist said, and you have become my salvation. Let's thank the Lord for Yeshua, our high priest and our sacrifice, our Lord and our Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Yeshua. Thank you, Lord, for the one who died for us and rose from the dead. Thank you, Lord, for the one who ascended to heaven and sent his Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. And Lord, I pray for everyone who's here in this room who has not yet made that firm commitment to you, that turning away from sin, the life of rebellion and independence. And I pray that this would be a night of turning. This would be a night of dedication. This would be a night of salvation. This would be a time when one could say and another could say, today I repented and put my trust in Yeshua. Today, I made that firm decision to follow him. Lord, I pray for these who are deciding that they would be resolute, that their hearts would fully turn, that they would confess with their mouths, Yeshua is Adonai, that they would know that he died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. That they would call him Lord and Savior. That this would be the beginning of a new, whole new chapter in their lives as they follow you. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Your heart, I want to congratulate you with this wonderful step. It's the most greatest gift in our life, salvation. Yeshua is greatest gift for our life. You will never be ashamed, never. And you will never be alone because of him. And he's promised for us the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, in our hearts. Each day, from the morning until late night, and even in the nights, he is with us. He is inside of us. So if you are made this decision, if you are receiving Yeshua in your heart, thanks the Lord for you. This is the wonderful evening for you. Remember this day. Remember this evening. Praise the Lord each day of your life. And I want to invite you to stand up and pray with all Jewish prayer, Avinu Malkeinu, prayer from all our hearts, prayer for our Father, who is our Savior, who has saved us through the Messiah Yeshua, through his blood, through his sacrifice. Let's pray in English and in Hebrew. Our Father, our King, be merciful and answer us, for we have no worthy deeds. Treat us charitably with loving kindness, for you have saved us. Amen.
Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, Chane. Ki ain't banu mal.
Let's continue with Zachareinu from all our hearts. Let's pray together. Remember us unto life, our King who delights in life, and inscribe us into the book of life for your sake, our God, our life.
Amen. Zachareinu l'chaim, melech hafetz b'chaim, v'chadveinu b'sefer hachaim. L'mancha Elohim, l'mancha Elohim, l'mancha Elohim chaim. Zachareinu l'chaim, melech hafetz b'chaim, v'chadveinu b'sefer hachaim. L'mancha Elohim, l'mancha Elohim, l'mancha Elohim chaim. Remember us, reward us new life, King who delights in life, dancing you give us life. Inscribe our hearts with words of life, inscribe us in the book of life for your name's sake. Remember us, remember us, reward us new life, King who delights in life, dancing you give us life, inscribe our hearts with words of life, inscribe us in the book of life for your name's sake. Zachareinu l'chaim, melech hafetz b'chaim, v'chadveinu b'sefer hachaim, l'mancha Elohim chaim. Zachareinu l'chaim, melech hafetz b'chaim, v'chadveinu b'sefer hachaim, l'mancha Elohim chaim. Remember us, reward us through life, King who delights in life, dancing you give us life, inscribe our hearts with words of life, inscribe us in the book of life for your name's sake. Zachreinu, Zachreinu l'chaim, melech kafeitz v'chaim, v'chatveinu b'sefer ha'chaim, l'man ha'elohim chaim. Zachreinu l'chaim, melech kafeitz v'chaim, v'chatveinu b'sefer ha'chaim, l'man ha'elohim chaim. Remember us unto life. Remember us unto
thank you, Lord. How great is His mercy. How great is His love. How great is His faithfulness. Tomorrow we'll begin our services at 10:30. We'll include a Torah service. We'll continue to confess our sins. We will continue to proclaim the death, burial, and resurrection of Messiah Yeshua. We'll continue to receive forgiveness and cleansing and healing, reconciliation and restoration, so that with clean consciences, we can walk with our God. So I invite you to fast with joy, with gladness. Some Jewish people have the habit, the custom, the tradition, the understanding not to wear leather shoes on Yom Kippur. But for many of us, our sneakers are our most comfortable shoes. It's hardly afflicting our souls. We give a lot of latitude, but I encourage you, take a full fast if your body allows it, if medically you're able to, without food, without water, as you're able to. If you're too young, don't do it. If your health doesn't allow it, do only what your doctors allow. There's a traditional saying at Yom Kippur, we say to one another, Tzom Kal, which means an easy fast. Some people object to that, you know, no, a fast should be hard. Well, what makes an easy fast is that our hearts are really directed towards God, and we're humbling ourselves before Him, and we're sincere. So what makes it easy is we're single-minded regarding our fast. So I can say to you, Tzom Kal, let your fast be easy, because you're strong in your repentance and in your faith. We're going to close now with Aaron's blessing. If you're standing by yourself, you can shuffle around. Let it be that no one's all alone. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'ichunecha yisar Adonai p'navelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you his peace in the name of the Prince of Peace, our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. Amen. Amen. Shalom.